Hey friends, you're listening to Go Home Bob or You're Drunk, an Irreverent Media podcast.
Why is it that with sparkling water, I'm always playing guessing games with what flavor I'm drinking? Is it citrus? Is it aluminum can flavored? Not sure. Sparkling ice, though, they really mean flavor. Like in-your-face flavor. Orange mango, black raspberry. Don't even get me started on the strawberry lemonade. Kiwi strawberry slid right into my taste buds' DMs last night and let them know who's boss. No subtleties there and no sugar either. But it does have vitamins and antioxidants. Find sparkling ice at a major grocery store or club retailer near you. Sparkling ice. Anything but subtle.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Everybody, welcome to Go Home Bible You're Drunk, the podcast where we dust off our Bibles and have a good laugh or cry depending on the week. I'm Tori. I'm a former evangelical. I was like raised in church but stayed in it for a really long time of my own volition because that shit's really hard to get out of. But anyway, now I'm out and I do this podcast. I also have a co-host.
Yeah, my name is Justin. I was also former evangelical, former pastor even. Paid professional Christian. And yeah, I don't do that now. Now I'm a volunteer
atheist.
Bible comedian.
I'm gonna call myself a volunteer atheist. That's how I'm gonna get around all of
it. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I think I'm gonna do. Yeah, I volunteer to be an atheist for a couple hours every week on this podcast. And that feels good
just
to me.
Doing the people's work, you know?
Yeah, that's enough atheism for me personally. I feel like everyone should be allotted a certain amount of time a week to be an atheist.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it'd be good. But so it's been a while since we've recorded. We recorded last on March 23rd, and it is now April 6th, and nothing has happened since then, Tori, right? Evangelicalism has remained relatively calm.
It's always nice when you have those weeks of no events whatsoever. You can just relax, not think about the news or, you know, the survival of the planet or any other existential crisis that may come to mind. But yeah, I don't know. Some shit has come to light. and I'm feeling a way about it very unhappily, unfortunately, because I would much rather I'd much rather make jokes about, I don't know, Ron DeSantis and his three-fingered pudding cup, but there's too much shit going on in the world, unfortunately.
It's hard
for that to
occur. It's hard to make what's going on right now in Tennessee and on a lot of the anti-trans stuff, but it's really happening more fiercely in Tennessee right now, at least as of this recording, which will debut
next week.
It's just ugly. I think a lot of podcasts, if you listen to a lot of podcasts, you've probably already heard people cover this. I don't know how much we're going to cover extra other than just, you know, there was a shooting and it's become a catalyst for a lot of anti-trans folks, furry Ben Shapiro being one of them.
Oh, I forgot about him. I spent several weeks not remembering he existed.
Yeah, I you know, some people I'll name. Furry Ben Shapiro, I will not name.
I will not.
They will get no publicity from me. even though
and we will intentionally only use the pronouns they, yes, them for this individual.
They, them, yes.
Yeah, no, because fuck that person. No, people, yeah, apparently, you know, 3,000 mass shootings are done by cis people, but trans people do three of them, and that's, trans people are the problem.
Well,
trans problem.
Again, a couple of those quote-unquote trans shootings weren't trans shootings. I think that one, I forget where it was, but they had claimed that the person was non-binary, and then later on they were like, actually, no, they're not.
Oh. Oh wait, the shooter identified as non-binary.
There was one in Colorado. Right, like the right, lawyers yeah, identified that. Them as non-binary, and I don't know.
After they were in jail, yeah, I do remember.
So
that.
So it was just kind of like, I mean, this newest one in Nashville, this was a trans person. But I mean, we have enough mass shootings in this country. Eventually, all demographics will have their own mass shooter. Sadly, white Christians have the vast majority of them.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. But no one's calling for legislation to ban Christians or Christianity.
Well, I mean, I probably am calling for legislation to ban white Christian men from owning AR-15s, if we're going to be totally honest.
True.
Like, we can do some reverse discrimination here.
I would be fine with some, yeah, some reverse racism, sure.
Uh-huh, yeah, I would like to be reverse racist sexist.
You have to give your AR-15 to a black man. Like, that's what you have to do.
No. No, I think people should only be allowed to shoot those things like at a range. You cannot bring the gun home. It does not live at your house.
Yeah, we have a well-regulated. You have to give them, I'm not really down for the police or the military, but we have a well-regulated militia already. If you want right, those things,
we don't need another.
You can go, you know, be trained and at least have the illusion of oversight.
That's true.
So yeah, I mean, yes. I think the editorial position of this podcast is that civilians should not own weapons of war, like, period. I have shot AR-15s myself, and while it is fun to do, they were made to kill large numbers of people quickly. That is the design purpose of that weapon. And I say weapon intentionally, not firearm. And yeah, and so it should remain in the hands of people that are highly trained to kill large numbers of people quickly, and not.
Which should be like four people, yeah, maybe total, like, on the planet.
Yeah, not many people, certainly not randos. Like,
correct.
Randos with, you know, $400 or $500, probably more than that, worth of disposable, mm-hmm, if you want to trick it out, worth mm-hmm of disposable income. So. Yeah, I mean, it's a mess, and it's, you know, the Tennessee legislature is really showing its ass in banning, you know, members of color because they participated in protests or censuring them. I don't know. That's just breaking today.
Expelling them is, I guess, the legal term in their particular state legislature. And yeah, I was a little sarcastic with Joe Byron today on Twitter because he was like, "This is unprecedented." And I was like, "Oh, sweetheart, have you heard of the end of Reconstruction? Let me tell you a thing about expelling lawmakers." Because, yeah, that was a thing. There were pretty consistently, even like during Reconstruction, when Black people were actually being elected to like federal government in the South, there were pretty consistently groups of whites who would vote against seating them, even though they'd won their elections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty much all of them were accused of stealing their seats or intimidating white voters. So they was like, "Yeah, you're intimidating white voters, and that's why you got elected."
Where have we heard this rhetoric before?
It's like they come up with no new ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm literally reading about the 1870s, and I'm like, I've heard every single one of these lines before. This is amazing.
Racism, yeah, really just flows one direction, because you know they're not reading history books from the 1870s at all,
right?
They're reading, right, you know, whatever weirdo O'Reilly,
furry Ben Shapiro, you know, is
whatever
writing.
O'Reilly, you know, killed Jesus or whatever book.
Oh my god! Know. Oh my god! I can't. I think that honestly, though, the thing that I suppose indignant, my therapist and I have been talking a lot about the fact that being indignant is one of my go-to emotions. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I'm most indignant about is like the white evangelical response to shootings in general. And it somehow just becomes this very esoteric thing that we can't explain because the Lord works in mysterious ways and shit, apparently.
Yeah, I skimmed that article that you sent me from Christianity Today. That was
a doozy.
Yeah, just, what can we do? We're just going to pray.
Which, and, right, is like, okay, that's great.
Sing,
so,
it
again,
is well with my soul, you know.
Okay, so and the thing about that article that I sent you, which I don't think that the person who wrote that is necessarily a bad person. They were just kind of sharing their perspective as a parent who has a child who goes to the school where the shooting occurred. I'm not shitting on them at all in any way. Like, honestly, that article legitimately made me cry. And I was also just fucking furious. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people who lost folks in this last shooting, and, you know, I don't feel like I have any reason to say anything about anyone who is grieving right now. The person who wrote this particular article, well, I'm sure they are grieving, did not lose anyone personally. So, it's a whole mess. The evangelical response is just like, it's an ethical atrocity the way that they're just like, we're passive agents who are all victims of God's unknowable and apparently capricious will. Like, there's no way to know what to do. We just got to pray about it. It's like, you're literally abdicating your responsibility as a human adult.
Yeah. It's like, there's nothing that can be done. And that's the frustrating thing for me is that, like, how many times can you say there's nothing that can be done? Yeah. I think what frustrates me is that like attitude of like, well, you know, God will do whatever. And what's frustrating about it to me is that they have that attitude when it comes to like problems that could be solved. But then when it comes to like trans folks, it's like, we have to take America back for God. Like, we're standing the ground. Like, we're the last bastion of hope for the family or whatever. And so it's just interesting, this like odd, like within the same week, even like, the government has nothing they can do. Like, even there's Tennessee legislators that were like, well, there's really nothing we can do about this. You know, like I homeschool my kids. Like, that was the richest, most insane one. You know,
yes,
that's truly what I do to prevent this. I homeschool my kids, which I'm like, if you have firearms in your house, like, statistically speaking, your homeschooler is not safe. But
yeah, unfortunately.
So it's just one of those things. It's like, pick a lane. Or pick a response. Like,
yeah,
either there's nothing you can do about anything and it's all in God's hands and you just pray and you do whatever, or like, be active about everything, which I actually don't want them to be active about everything, but it's just, I would appreciate consistency.
Yeah, they seem pretty incapable of that.
Yeah. And even spotting their own inconsistency. And that's what, and we'll see that when we talk more about our topic about capitalism and stuff, like the inconsistencies are, I mean, they're even in the Bible. So,
yeah, and it's pretty, I mean, it's really glaring. And I think that there is something to be said for the fact that some of us saw that and were so bothered by it that we left.
Yeah, I mean, that's, most people left because they saw the inconsistencies and were like, we can't. And it's, and I will just speak to like the fact that it feels like going crazy when you try to point them out to someone who hasn't seen them yet. And you're like, well, how do you not see this? Like, how do you not see that you're consigning children to death? Like, there was a Instagram post. I forget who it was. It was a creator of color. I wish I could remember their name, but my recall today is just not good. That was like, he's like, functionally, we have become okay with the death of children. And I don't know what to do with that. Like, we just, like, functionally, we've just kind of said, this is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, this is a fair trade-off.
Yeah, this is
for me to have an AR-15.
Yeah, this is the price of freedom. And I know every Republican listening to this, every Republican who's ever heard me say that is like, oh, no, we don't think that. And yeah, of course, that's a shitty position to have. That's a fucked up position to have. And of course, you would deny that you have that. But the fact of the matter is that that's by default, that is your ethical position, that you're okay with this. Because if you weren't okay with this, you would have done something. And I'll point the finger at Democrats, too, because Democrats had a lot of control several times in the last, you know, 10, 15 years. They've had enough control of government to actually do something, and they haven't. So that's fucking depressing, honestly.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that you're right. It, like, the inconsistency is hard, which is why I've started using the language of like, your functional position, right? Like, you can believe a thing, but your functional position is pro kids being shot at, like, taken out at school. Like, that is a hill that you are willing to die on.
Yeah, and you're okay with this. You know, because the shooter in the Nashville shooting, I was just like, use the AR-15 to shoot the door to get in to the school. So your door locks aren't working again, because this is, I know people get triggered by the word assault weapon, but this is a weapon designed to assault.
Right. Yeah.
And to assault people and structures. So you put that in people's hands, guess what? Structures are going to be breached. And like, I don't know. It's just, that's, and the frustrating thing too, is like, they have this position of like, oh, you know, our hearts are wicked. You know, our hearts are wicked. Uh-huh. Well, then why are you handing out AR-15s? Like, if people's hearts are wicked beyond, you know, whatever. And, you know, then why are we giving away weapons of, not giving away, but why are we selling weapons of war to people? Like, that's always been my frustration with this whole thing, because the conversation is like, well, you know, humans are wicked. This is what humans do, you know?
So maybe we should prevent them from doing it.
Yeah. Let's just put some meaningful stops to prevent this from happening. And you know, and I will not defend the person that did this at all, but I will also say that had this trans person had support of a community as opposed to not support of a community, have access to mental health services that Republicans say they're for in situations like this, free healthcare, perhaps this and many other of these kind of mass shootings could have been prevented. I don't want to lean too hard into that, because then it gets into the like the white kid that no girl liked, you should have dated him territory. And I'm not saying that, but I am saying that if we as a society provided support to all individuals that were struggling free of charge, we would probably have less of these incidents.
Yeah. Yeah. I can only assume that that is true based on the fact that no other country has this issue. Mm-hmm. Like, no other comparable country has this issue at all.
Even countries that have firearms don't have this issue.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just read the U.S. has 46% of children in the in wealthy nations. 46% of children in wealthy nations live in the U.S., but they are 97% of children who are killed by guns in the U.S.
And it's the leading cause of death amongst children.
Yeah, now it is. Because we've made cars safer for some reason. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Seems like such a waste, you know, because like, what are we supposed to do about that? God's in control.
Seatbelts and car seats infringe on my freedom, Tori.
You know what's amazing, though, is that they literally said that.
Yeah, that is true.
Because they have no new arguments. Yeah. It is like, this is government overreach in my car.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then they got used to it and it's fine.
Right. Because they saw it worked, probably.
And now your Ford F-350 has a shit ton of safety features in it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's different standards apply to different tools. I was reading the article that I sent you that in Christianity Today that was talking about like, oh, we can just never know what God has in store for us or something, which very much seems to be like the evangelical reply sort of across the board for people who were like proximate to this event, which is really interesting. Like, I haven't read that many or like heard from, it's not like I've listened to like dozens and dozens of people who were proximate to this particular shooting, but it does seem very consistent of like, well, we just don't know what the Lord's will is. Yeah. And it's like, okay, but just take this logic and apply it to car crashes. Like, please. Like, make this exact same argument with drunk drivers. Mm-hmm. And just tell me how we just don't know what the Lord's will is, so we can't infringe on people's right to drive drunk.
And I'm sure you would find a dozen evangelicals that might agree with that sentiment. But I think the vast majority would be like, hey, yeah, you're right. That's not okay.
Right.
And yeah, there's no new arguments under the sun, and there's not a way to make this funny or light either, but it's just sad. I think we're all just having a sad about it or an anger about it. And what, I guess if I can offer any encouragement, whatever you're feeling is completely valid, and numbing is completely valid too, because at a certain point you can't feel all the things. There's too much to feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Numbing within reason. Y'all know what I'm actually talking about.
I'm personally an advocate of safely self-medicating whenever you feel the need.
Yep. 5 milligrams of a sleep aid goes a long way.
You know what? It really does. If you're blessed to live in a place that you can get your hands on something to like take the edge off, and it's not a substance, it's a problem for you, like, do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, humans have been self-medicating for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything morally wrong with that. Just, you know, don't drive your fucking car if you're drinking. Seems pretty straightforward, right? Like, don't take your AR-15 out of your house if you're mad that day.
Seems reasonable to me.
Anyway, we're never going to convince them with reason, Justin. I don't know why we try.
No, we're not. So we just need to wait for them to die.
Let's convince them with capitalism.
Yes, which is what we're going to talk about after our capitalism break. We're going to talk about Christianity and capitalism. And I think Christianity, capitalism, and also just Christianity's posture towards governing authorities, because maybe in different times in history, those would have been separate. But at this particular moment, they're kind of all the same thing. So we're going to take a capitalism break because it's the water we swim in and bills got to be paid. So thank you for putting up with it, and we'll see you in a little bit. Hey, thanks for taking that capitalism break with us. Really appreciate it. Your support of the show. If you want to support the show directly, you can do so via Patreon, patreon.com/gohomebible, where you get access to our Discord, as well as we're doing a somewhat new thing where we're doing patron hangouts on the fifth Thursday of every month that has a fifth Thursday. So instead of recording, we take a break and we just kind of hang out with our patrons on Discord on the video/voice chat. And we did that last month and it was a good time. I think the next one is in June. So if you want to be a part of that, join our Patreon and you can get access. We also did have a patron. I just want to call out, we have a patron named Peter who is not a new patron. He's been a patron for quite a while, but did up his donation. And I just want to say thank you for that. Every little bit helps pay the bills, because podcasts, like, I've learned that somewhere in the universe, people have come to the conclusion that podcasters make a lot of money.
There's like four of us that make a lot of money. There are, and like the rest, not so much. Yeah,
there are some podcasters that do make a lot of money, but the difference between like the 1% and even the 2% of podcasters,
it's pretty significant.
Pretty significant. And I would say generously we're in the top 60%. And that's only because the bottom 50 is like people that put out 3 episodes and quit.
Yeah.
So thank you for every little bit. You know, it helps us, you know, increase the quality of the show, pay our editor and a couple other things. And so we really appreciate it. And we hope to, you know, be able to do more with that as our support continues to grow. Tori, do you have a drinking game for us as we explore this wild world of Christianity, capitalism, and government?
So my suggestion for a drinking game is going to be that every time Jesus would say a person would go to hell for that, a wealthy person would go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Take a drink.
Okay. Nice.
Jesus is very anti-wealthy people, which is convenient, except for none of his people apparently believe that that's true.
I think this is why evangelicals default to Paul. They're like, Jesus is our mascot, but Paul is where we get all our stuff.
Excellent observation.
I think that's pretty close to the mark. So we're going to look at some Bible. We're going to look at some history. We're going to look at some weird folks that are around. Should we start with Romans or should we start with... Let's start with Jesus. We'll start with Jesus.
Okay.
So all right, we can do that. Jesus didn't talk about money that much, but he did talk about money, at least in the Synoptic Gospels. We're gonna do a little lesson here for those of you that maybe don't know what the Synoptic Gospels were, or you forgot that word and it's triggered you.
My brain transferred it to the Gnostic Gospels, and I was like, "What the fuck is he going to be talking about right now?" Like, no. I'm legitimately curious. Nope, that's not. It wasn't.
Well, this story. So the story of Jesus, like talking to the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, depending on which one you're looking from, It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So kind of important, or at least the early Christians thought it was important. It's also in the Gospel of Thomas, so there is a Gnostic gospel that does pick it up and do its own fun little spin on it. We really should we should dive into that someday, but not
absolutely
today. And essentially, it's a question where these rules lawyers of some type, a lot of times Christians call them Pharisees. That's kind of become, I mean, they were called Pharisees, yes, but kind of saying Pharisee as a pejorative is more than a little anti-Semitic, considering Jesus probably was a Pharisee as well. So I'll just say rules lawyers, and we'll go from there. So they were like, hey, Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And that was a big hot button issue at the time, particularly, you know, amongst Jewish folks, you know, because there was already enough tithing going on, particular tax. I think it was a poll tax, and there was a bunch of other stuff. So should we pay taxes to Caesar? And Jesus has a few brilliant moments. And I feel like this is one of them, because he asked the people that are questioning him to give him a coin. And so they reach into their pocket, and lo and behold, there's Roman money in their pocket. And he says, whose inscription's on this coin? And they say, Caesar. And then Jesus kind of replies with this famous line, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God's. And they're like amazed. They're like, oh, it's like that one gif of the people that are like, oh, you know, like, you know.
Yes.
And then we kind of go on our merry way. And that's kind of been, you know, the at least framed as like Jesus' response to paying taxes or governing authorities. Like, you know, there are things that are God's and there are things that are Caesar's. Mm-hmm. And, you know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And he's also showing that, like, y'all are on the Roman, you know, on the Roman dime, too. This is a fun bit of trivia. The coin may have been a coin that said Tiberius, son of the divine Augustus, which is kind of interesting that it's like basically saying the son of God. Or Augustus was the son of God. I can't remember. The son of the son of God.
The grandson of God.
The grandson of God. That there's some question as to whether that particular coin was in circulation at the time, but I like it as a bit of trivia. So it's a funny little story. And to me, it seems pretty cut and dry as like, if you're going to apply it to Christians today, there are church things and there are state things, and they should remain separate.
They are the same. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Haven't you ever read the Old Testament? It's the same thing, the church and the state.
Yeah. but it's been interesting. I was reading Wikipedia as well as a few other articles that I kind of branched out to. So who knows if Wikipedia is a good source? Most days it's not bad, or at least it points you in a direction.
I'm just going to go ahead and say Wikipedia is more accurate than ChatGPT.
Fair.
So there's that.
And a disturbing number of people are asking ChatGPT things that ChatGPT should never be asked.
And is not qualified to answer.
No, it's not your therapist.
No. Okay. Sorry.
It's not equipped to give you relational advice. It should not be doing your taxes.
It'll try really hard though.
It will try very hard.
It will
hard.
Make an earnest attempt.
Yeah. There was actually a researcher or somebody that asked ChatGPT to write an essay about the historical figure. And then they just basically gave a random name, like, not a real person at all. And ChatGPT confidently wrote an essay.
Like, hell yeah.
Oh yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know this guy. Apparently he had a very fascinating life.
That's so great. I love it.
So
yeah, it's good for fiction. Wikipedia is significantly, as a percentage, significantly less fictional.
Yeah. All that to say, like, Christians have wrestled with this passage a lot too, because there were Quaker war tax resistors that were basically like, you know, hey, yeah, we are supposed to give.
Actually, I could get with that.
You know, they were like, yeah, we give to Caesar what's Caesar's and God what's God's, but like, we believe God opposes war, so we're not going to pay taxes that support war. Like, we'll pay general taxes, but if it goes toward a war, fuck no. Which I can get down with.
Honestly, yes. Yeah.
So if there was like a line item, it's like, please do not let my taxes go towards war. I want to house the homeless. Mm-hmm. That's what I want my tax to go to.
Oh, man.
That would be a truly democratic.
On this.
That would be a truly democratic system.
if people could put their money towards a thing, where would they, like, their tax dollars, if you could choose, like, which bucket it went into? I would like to know.
Yeah, that would be fascinating. So anyway, this passage has been debated, and it is vague. I will be honest, it is vague. Mm-hmm. Like most things Jesus says, it's more of like a live, laugh, love kind of quote. It could mean a lot of things.
It's kind of like a mic drop quote.
Yeah.
Right? Where people are so astounded that there are no follow-up questions.
Yeah. But it does beg a lot of follow-up questions.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. That there's more questions now, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially now because we are Caesar, kind of, in a democratic mm-hmm. system. I think that's where it starts to break up.
I was just thinking about the way that we were taught that we were constantly being persecuted when actually we were like the beneficiaries of all kinds of bullshit tax policies and manufactured wars, etc. Yeah, because evangelicals, again, can't help but conflate God and the government. Like, there's a reason God and country is a phrase.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate it.
So, but then we have this Romans 13 passage where Paul wades in and he just clears it right up. You know, and it's interesting because, like, right before Romans 13, I'm going to go back a second to Romans 12. You know, this is where the famous kind of like, I offer my body as a living sacrifice. Ooh, gross. But, you know, this is what he does. You know, Paul's like talking about, I don't repay evil for evil. You know, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Now, then there's like the spiteful, if you do this, you're heaping burning coals on his head. But hey, you know, someone got fed. So fine. You know, so do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's like the framing argument before he launches into let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. I feel like that's important to note that Paul is very much in the like, y'all ought to be taking care of each other, even if you don't like them. And then now everyone should submit yourselves to the governing authorities. And I'm going to read this trigger warning because I find this like now that I'm out of this to be like weird or extra weird. For there's no authority except that which God has established, which in an odd way kind of contradicts Jesus, I think. Authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, therefore, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. This says strong, like, if you're not doing anything wrong, what's the problem with being
surveilled? What's the problem? Uh-huh, yeah.
Do you want to be free from the fear of the one who's authority? Then do what is right, and you'll be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. Like, that's the thing. Like, anyone in authority is God's servant for your good.
Paul's a little bit of a bootlicker for having escaped from prison.
I'm fascinated by that bit of rhetoric, because I feel like it explains a lot. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Then he goes on, like, it's talking about paying taxes. Mm. Like, so it's like, Paul, I'm just gonna say, Paul's a cop, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, Paul's the kind of guy that when he gets broken out of prison by an earthquake, he tells everyone to go back to prison. So, I don't know. Thoughts, Tori?
It's amazing.
Thoughts?
That's amazing. Yeah, no, Paul's definitely a little bit of a bootlicker, which is kind of distressing. Also really weird given the fact that like he knew how the Romans treated people and he was still saying this. Like, okay, this is legitimately making me wonder, like, is it pretty clear that Paul was the person that like wrote Romans 13?
Yeah, I think it's one of the gospels that's pretty clear that he wrote it.
Okay. The other thing that comes to mind then is that the Revolutionary War was not biblical. It was against the Bible. Yep. Shouldn't have happened, which means that America, per Paul's theology, should not exist. And it is really weird that like God literally breaks you out of prison and you're like, no, everybody, stay here.
Yeah.
This is what God wants for us.
Yeah, I mean, Paul would be probably fiercely against the American Revolution, honestly. So
yeah, because he's more ethically consistent than evangelicals are.
Yes, for sure. And I think Jesus would be as well. But here we are. So Mm-hmm. Like, these passages are somewhat contradictory, but also, I mean, clear in the sense of, like, pay taxes, obey the government, you know, don't take care of people, and government's here for a reason. How do modern evangelicals then apply that? Like, that's, because I feel like they don't, they apply Romans 13, submit to authorities, when they're an authority and they want everyone else to toe the line. When they're not an authority, like when, you know, Joe Biden or Barack Obama is in office, they're like, not my president. No, I ain't submitting to that.
Right. It doesn't count.
It doesn't count.
Right. And it's funny because it's Paul is so explicit in stating, like, the people who are in authority were put there by God.
Yeah. He's definitely like all authority and comes from
evangelicals
God.
Don't. Right. Right. And evangelicals do not fuck with that at all. Like, their guys are from God. Nobody else's.
Yeah, which is just wild to me. And then you add in capitalism and, like, wealthy Christians trying to influence the government, and it becomes a whole thing. And then Christian corporations that try to use the engine of capitalism for Jesus, like this whole, like, he gets us nonsense, where, like, I don't even know what the point of that ad campaign was, because, like, everyone who's seen that has already decided.
Yeah. Yeah. There were a couple of different statements that were made. Their explanation of why apparently Jesus needs, like, a marketing campaign right now. One of them was, he gets us as a movement to reintroduce people to the Jesus of the Bible and his confounding love and forgiveness. Of course, this is said by an organization that gives money to politicians that want to do, like, genital checks on children to make sure they're the gender that they claim to be. So,
confounding love, indeed. Huh?
They also, truly, yeah.
No.
Not the kind I'm interested in. They also say they want to help people understand the authentic Jesus as he's depicted in the Bible, the Jesus of radical forgiveness, compassion, and love. No.
Then why are you funneling money?
No, I don't. That's not.
Why
do you worship him?
Why are you funneling money into anti-trans legislation, then?
Right. And God, what else? I found so many good quotes on their bullshit that I was just like, oh man, where they were talking about all of these things that they were wanting to accomplish in their very weird, just very, very weird ads, trying to, yeah, I guess, make Jesus seem cool while actively funding, like, LGBTQ hate groups. They are very much on their bullshit. Jacobin also had a little write-up on them, which they claim that Servant Foundation, which is what is funding He Gets Us, claims it exists to inspire and facilitate revolutionary biblical generosity. I just don't think that buying ad spots during the Super Bowl counts as biblical generosity. Because, like, Jesus wasn't putting up billboards about how cool his wine was. Like,
yeah,
he was literally just feeding people.
Yeah, without...
I don't get it.
Question, and without, like, you know, what's your socioeconomic status? Or, like, why did you come to hear me talk and didn't think ahead to bring food?
Like,
you know, but sure, buy a billboard.
Right, you know. Right. That's exactly... Like, what would Jesus do? Take out ad space.
Take out ad space and then funnel more money than what I paid for this ad into anti-trans legislation and line the pockets of fascists, essentially.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems pretty clear to me that Jesus was anti a lot of people, was constantly trying to put people down. He was definitely like a punching down kind of a guy, you know, which I think is why, you know, people like He Gets Us and David Green, who is the owner of former owner of Hobby Lobby, because he gave it away to the people running He Gets Us, most likely. He won't say.
Love that.
People like, I know, right? Love that. People like that. Jesus was, usually he was a pretty big fan of wealthy people. He thought they were doing a good job. He was like, all these poors can go fuck themselves. It was typically his attitude, I feel like, in the Bible.
Yeah, he definitely was anti-poor.
And
that's the... I don't know. We've said it before. Everyone listening to this podcast has thought it. Like, I think most people that are evangelicals have not actually read the Bible.
I mean, it's kind of long, and they're not really readers in general.
True. I mean, they have read the Bible, I should say, but like they read it in like a verse by verse context. So,
right.
You know, oh, I read during the Trump years one time that you ought to obey civil authorities, and look at both, and everything is outwardly projected, like, you know, and that's the interesting thing too. Like, I feel like reading the Bible changes when you're like, why don't you point that inside first?
Right.
Instead of giving the sermon about like, hey, all the poors, all the gays, all the whatever out there, they're the recipients of this message of wrath or whatever. When the reality is Jesus' worst messages were for the ones who were probably the religious rule keepers of his time. And again, Jesus was a Jew. It's not an anti-Jewish thing for him to do that. He was critiquing his own system from within it. And I think most good religious folks, if we're going to follow in the example of Jesus, are going to critique their religious system from within, for sure.
I think we're really kind of missing the part, though, where Jesus was walking around wearing a Gucci belt.
Yeah, that's right. I bet if they had an Instagram of like rabbis in shoes or whatever, you know, Jesus definitely would have been rocking the most expensive sandals in Palestine.
For sure. Time. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They would have been Valentino.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah. And yeah,
yeah.
Hobby Lobby dude, man, he's trying to take over the world, really.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
He's a real peach.
Billionaire is going to billionaire.
Yeah. So he did this whole thing. He had this interview. I think it was on Fox News, but he was talking about where he said he was giving away his company to fund Christian missions, which, like, cool, colonizers, exactly what Jesus wanted. Mm-hmm. Everybody was just about that life, that colonizer life. But he go like his quote is, we really wanted to do something that mattered 100 years from now, instead of just absorbing things, which I think he means cash, money, the billions of dollars, ourselves. We wanted to do things in various ministries, which, like, on one hand, Justin, I think this is what you and I kind of want billionaires to do, is like give their shit away. On the other hand, this doesn't actually solve any problems except for the problems that white evangelicals create themselves. Yes. Like refusing to give their employees real health insurance.
Yeah, like, and Hobby Lobby has fought the government, the God-ordained governing authorities, by the way, on providing health care for their employees. And that's why David Green or Daniel Green, whatever the fuck his name is a billionaire. Like, he's a billionaire because he exploited people and didn't cover their health care, amongst other things. Like, he's not a billionaire because God just loves him so much. He's God's favorite. Like, and I was like, we can't rely on billionaires to be the ones to give away their fortunes. Like, because it's
no. I mean, no, absolutely not.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is not the worst, but there are better ways to use that money, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A bunch of white people who make six figures in Seattle deciding what's best for like little kids in Pakistan and like Namibia, like, I get that you're trying to do a good thing, but also go fuck yourself. Like, stop.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to sit down and decide what's good for these people who live 7,000 miles away, who we've never met and will never interact with. Like, okay. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. This is why they should never have been allowed to become billionaires in the first place. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's And then it's like this just waste of resources to like run ads or to materially harm people. Like, I mean, let's assume for a second, and I'll put a content warning here just as far as like, if there's any trans person listening to this is not me saying, this is just my philosophical musings. Like, if you do believe that a trans person is going to hell for whatever reason, like, what is your motivation for making their life worse now? Like, you know, like that just, and I would say this about anyone in the LGBTQ community, anyone who's a person of color or whatever, like anyone who has an ideology different than they do. Like, I saw a tweet the other day that said, you know, Democrats are Satanists, basically said Democrats are functionally Satanists. And it's like, let's just assume for a second. you believe that. Like, we're all go. Everyone that disagrees with you is going to hell. Let's just assume that for a moment. And everyone who, like, why do you want to make our lives worse? Why do you want to harm a trans child? Like, you know, that's where I'm like, you're just an asshole. And you're using religion to justify mm-hmm. being an asshole. And that needs to be stated more frequently and with our full throats. Like, because mm-hmm. again, to me, like, this is not the way of Jesus. Like, I have beefs and issues with Christianity theologically that I can go on all day about. But, like, hurting children, right. you know, like, fuck right. you. Like, tie a millstone around your neck and go jump in the ocean. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And, like, and that's not violent rhetoric. That's me quoting the fucking Bible. So, yeah.
It is. It is. And something that's really interesting to me, you know, as somebody who spends a lot of time like studying and reading about American history and racism, is there is very much within kind of all of Christianity, whether or not it's Protestant, there is very much this idea of like suffering purifies one's soul. So even if a person is not mm-hmm. going to go to heaven, it's still good to harm them because suffering is good for their soul. And maybe it will make them like, I don't know, see the light, essentially. If we hurt you enough, you'll eventually mm-hmm. capitulate and then you will be happy, which is gross and inaccurate because that's not how it works. But I definitely think that there's a lot of that theology sort of baked into like yeah. white evangelicalism, especially.
Yeah, that like
oh, let's hurt people.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, somewhat found in First or Second, I think it's Second Thessalonians, where it's like the person that doesn't work doesn't get to eat, you know, which again, in context, like I probably said this before, but the kind of the theme of First Thessalonians is Jesus is coming soon. And then the theme of right. Second Thessalonians is, but not that soon. Because the person that's writing it is actually referencing people quitting their jobs because Jesus is coming back.
A thing that Christians have done.
Yeah. And so, you know, the writer of that letter is like, actually, guys, you know, like if someone's quitting their job, they don't get to eat. And it's a specific piece of advice for that particular community at that mm-hmm. particular time, which I don't even know that that's good advice, frankly, but still, like, don't lump that into some Protestant work ethic and cause people right. to suffer. And honestly, every right. trans person I know actually has a job and does work and contributes to society and pays their taxes. Like, I know very few of them that are layabouts, you know, like, so like,
I know most of us are not saying us like trans people. Cause I don't know what gender means, but like most of us in terms of queer people are not really like, we're not independently wealthy and just sitting on our asses all day.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, not so much.
So it's just really, it just comes down to like what bathroom you're going to use. And at that point I'm like, I don't care who I shit next to. I don't like,
I just like, I'm sorry for whoever it is. Actually yeah. don't care what's in your pants.
Yeah. And that's just it's this myopic culture war that they use to get votes. But unfortunately real people are harmed and it's funded by capitalism and it's funded by these yeah. Christians that feel like they can pick and choose what governing authorities they can listen to. And they even say it like, yeah, the Democrats are satanic. Yeah. Therefore God can't have ordained them to be an authority. They must have cheated or lied or stolen it or something,
which is really funny because then it's saying that like God isn't sovereign and also and the Bible is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're directly contradicting the Bible isn't clear on many things, but Paul is very clear in Romans 13 that all authority, every authority you've ever encountered in your life is God ordained, which again I disagree with, but if you're a Christian that takes the Bible seriously you don't get that get out of jail free card.
Right. I just don't agree with that. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think that there is, I think alongside the like suffering is it's good to make people suffer. There's also this idea that like if someone has wealth, that is evidence that God has blessed them regardless of the rest of their behavior or what they do with that.
Unless you're George Soros.
Unless you're George Soros, in which case you're running the pizza shop basement kid factory that, you know, doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And no, it's all very, there's always exceptions. Like this is what's amazing about white evangelical theology is there are always exceptions to the rule for them only, not for anybody else. But like, if they need to not do something, they don't have to do it because they will pull out a Bible verse. Yeah.
Cause prayer Jabez.
Yeah. Yep. Cause prayer Jabez. Cause Protestant work ethic, all of the above.
Yeah. I don't get it. I think we'll definitely cover this more over the weeks, but it's wild to watch folks twist themselves into these ethical knots and not see the insanity that's created. You know, humans are sinful. We need to give them guns. All authority is from God, except the authority we don't like. You know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, you know, unless Caesar wants it to help the poor.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want my tax dollars going to bail out college students, you know?
Right. Right. Totally. I want my tax dollars going to take trans kids away from their parents.
Yeah. Which.
Okay.
Yeah, fills me with rage. Yeah. More cops to take the trans kids away from their parents. Like, right. That's, you know, that's,
always need more cops. Can't have an, and I, well, yeah. And you know, what's really, you know, what I'm really entertained by personally is the fact that like when, with the, this, I don't know why this connects except for like the entire double standard of like, of Trump being arraigned. Right.
Yes.
And people who participated in like January 6th going like, oh, we need to go to Washington, D.C. to like protest on behalf of Trump and what have you. And right. Like,
God, that happened this last 2 weeks too. I'm
sorry. No. We need to go to New York City. People who were in Washington, D.C. were like saying, we need to go to New York City to like protest on behalf of Trump. But yeah, that's one of the many things that has happened in the last since we recorded last. But it's really interesting, right? Like January 6th is such an acute example of like, the law doesn't apply to me.
Yeah.
Right. For sure. It applies to Black Lives Matter. It applies to anti-fascists. It applies to trans kids, which is why we're trying to change the law to hurt them. But it doesn't apply to me.
Yeah. Like no one,
because God wants Trump to be in charge.
No one, like, so, you know, these Black men who were protesting gun violence, they get expelled from the Tennessee legislature. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's out simping for Trump, a person that incited an insurrection and broke the law in multiple ways. Like the New York cases are only one of many. Mm-hmm. No one's expelling her from Congress, you know, like,
Fuck. She's not even being expelled from her church and she's an absolute piece of shit.
Yeah. Like, there you go, Andy Stanley. There's something you could do.
Make the world a better place.
I'm not supporting Marjorie Taylor Greene, but I'm sure she gives him lots of money. So,
I mean, I don't know if she gives him lots of money because I don't know if she has lots of money, but I'm sure that she gets him like more tax breaks than he already has, which means he's actually earning money back on his taxes for not doing anything, but whatever. Yeah. It's a technicality.
Yeah, true. Somehow he materially benefits from her staying in office. And so she remains a member in good standing of his church.
Yeah.
Well, folks.
Good Christian folks. Doing the Lord's work.
I mean, this was not the most fun episode we've ever done, and it was a little bit all over the place. I think mostly because we're just trying to catch up. We're trying to like figure out ways to cover this, and it's been fucking wild to do. So thank you for listening and for your support and listening. Our podcast, honestly, I did want to mention this before, like our audience is growing a lot lately, and that's been very much an honor, and I'm very grateful for it, and we're trying to figure out ways to manage that well, and so thank you, but also take care of yourselves. Like, after this episode, like, drink some water, do some stretching, get out and touch grass, if you will, do something good for yourself, because we need to remember that we're humans in bodies not made for the world that we live in,
which is made for robots.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yes, indeed.
So, any final thoughts, Tori, before we log off?
Yeah, no, I absolutely want to echo what you just said. It is, I'm discovering as I am almost 39 fucking years old that, yeah, having a body means you actually have to take care of it. Otherwise it, your brain doesn't like existing in the world. So yeah, take like 5 or 10 minutes and like decompress, turn your phone off. Just, yeah, go outside, whatever it is you need to do. All the way here for that. So basically exactly what you said, Justin.
I'm glad we're in agreement. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, thanks everybody. We'll see you next week.